This morning, we continue our series on the story, and we're going to read the Christmas story. And as we read the Christmas story, I want us to ask ourselves this morning, why the timing of the birth of Jesus was exactly the right time, why he needed to be born, and how this first introductory New Testament passage actually ties together all of the Old Testament. Read with me from the book of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was still governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying with them in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. So far, the reading of God's word. Growing up as a child, one of my favorite TV shows began this way. In 1972, a crack commander unit was sent to prison for a crime they did not commit. These men promptly escaped a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground, where they are still wanted, and they remain soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if nobody else can help, if you can find them, maybe they can be hired. Dan, 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 dan. I was told not to sing the rest. Let me give you a clue as to what this amazing TV show was. They drove this van. Then the man at the back with the cap, Howling Mad Murdoch. He was the flyer of the chopper, and every time there was an episode, they would need to get him out of a mental health institution. On the one side, Face, guy wearing the suit. He was the charmer in the group. He would procure everything they needed for the mission. On this side, you have B.A. Baracus, Mr. T, who was afraid of flying, but he drove the van. He was the muscle. And there at the front, Captain Hannibal Smith. Do you know what the show is? The A-Team. And in all 98 episodes, there was a phrase that repeated in every episode. Does anyone know what that phrase was? I love it when a plan comes together. Absolutely. Duncan is helpful here because he tells us that what we have is not a fictional story, but what we have is this beautiful story where the plan really does come together. Because if you understand how the plan is coming together, the birth of Jesus becomes very significant in our understanding of the Bible. Remember how it started. The world started and it was good and it was perfect. But sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They would be kicked out of the garden. There would be pain during childbirth. The days of our working years would be laborious and cause sweat on our brow. And life would never be exactly as it was. Life would be out of harmony. And there they would return to Jerusalem, but it would still be in conflict. Peace would not be over the whole land. In fact, it would be desolate and broken and struggling and wrestling. In fact, it was so bad that when Israel was in the wilderness, they begged to go back and become slaves again. And the time of the priests, which God had given Israel so that they could learn to follow him, they still did what they wanted to do. When there were prophets, they didn't often adhere to the word of the prophets to follow God. In the time of the kings, Israel wanted an earthly king. They wanted a king who would create a dominant empire. But what they didn't really understand is that they already had a king. And so this morning, I want us to understand why in this transition to the New Testament, timing is everything. You could really say, like Hannibal Smith, I love it when a plan comes together. It just didn't happen at any time, but at a specific time. The Bible says, so also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And then it picks up a little later. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So why is this so significant? Well, I want you to picture for a moment what's going on in the world. Up until this point, there was a variety of languages in the world, and you could say there was a sense of confusion, and to communicate in one language was very, very hard. But now, Greek is becoming an international language, much like English today is universal around the world. The Greek language was beginning to surface all over the world. And for the first time, there is this international language that everybody would be able to comprehend. Notice that the Bible, the New Testament, is written into the international language of the day and could spread very easily around the world. There was also the idea of a uniform set of government and law. People wanted to be under the Roman law. It was fair and just. It treated everybody as though they had rights. And so not only have this unified language at the time of the birth of Christ, you also have a law that is widely accepted and used. There is also, for the first time, a universal idea of trade and enterprise and system. Roads were being cultivated and laid out. So now as communities and businesses were being built, the gospel too could advance to those new communities as the followers of Jesus would make their way along the trade routes and begin to share the gospel in a unified language, and churches could be planted. There was the Pax Romana. There was a time of peace when the birth of Christ is beginning to happen and the church is beginning to explode. There was no real local conflicts. There were no wars that were brewing, and so there was no upheavals or revolts coming underway. And so now you also have the opportunity to move freely and for the gospel to be shared. At exactly the right time when God came into the world, there was a sense of hungering. Much like there is today, where all of the things that we have been searching for and placing our hope and our trust and our identity in have becoming much more fruitless. Realizing that it didn't really add or change our life as well. And so many of the idols and the gods that people were following were realizing it didn't make any kind of difference. And so there was this openness to the gospel that there had not been before, and the story of faith could be told. And there was a longing. There was a longing to be set free. I mean, the people of God were waiting too, weren't they? They were waiting for a Messiah. And yet, they were waiting for a Messiah who would free them from the Roman occupation, who would allow them to establish the kingdom. And what God was really doing here in the story of the birth of Christ, he's giving them everything that had ever been said, everything they would ever need, and anything they would ever hope for. And then there was the census. At exactly the right time, God used Caesar Augustus to usher in the plan of God. And exactly the right time, God brings together Mary and Joseph, and he brings them to Bethlehem. And exactly the right time, Jesus is going to be born. So not only is it exactly the right time, but God brings together the A-team. Who could have imagined God would take a young teenage girl who would be disgraced because of this and tells her that she is going to be with child, that she is going to give birth to the Messiah, and have her say, God, may it be as you have said. What a faithful, what a trusting, what an obedient young woman. And then bring along the man to whom she is to be married to. What an outstanding, godly young man who would simply say, I'm not going to divorce her quickly. I'm not going to shame her. I will partner with her in the plan of God. So the characters are there. Everything from peace to language to trade to the universal understanding of a language to an openness to the gospel It's all there. And it's there that the plan comes together. And you hear those words. You will find a babe. And he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you will find him lying in a manger. Historians through the year have tried to put words to this. St. Augustine says this. He it is by whom all things were made, who was made one of all things, the maker of the sun made under heaven, author of the heavens and the earth sprung under the heavens out of the earth. He is utterly wise in wisdom, a babe without utterance. Or how about this chorus that many of us would have learned as a child? Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Or think of the words of C.S. Lewis in The Last Battle. In our world too, a stable once had something inside it that was far bigger than our whole world. So here you have the right time and the right characters. But catch this. As you come to the end of the life, you could say, of Jesus, not of his ministry, not at the beginning, not at the middle, but closer to the end, we have this. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses. He's referring to the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The prophets who foretold of the birth of Christ and what was written in the Psalms. The plan was coming together. One author writes that Heraclitus tells us something significant, something that ties in but not really, and then what he really says. One thing he's most well known for is a statement. He said, did you know that if you put your foot into water and you take it out and you put it back in, you'll never put your foot back into the same water? You want to know why? Because when you take your foot out and you put it back in, the water that had just been there had been moved along. But there's something less familiar that he's noted for, and he says this. He said that the Logos, or the Word, is the all-powerful wisdom that steers everything. He is saying that there is the Word that brings order to our lives. And Paul picks up on that in the book of Colossians when he says this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And in him he holds all things together. I don't know about you, but I love it when a plan comes together. And what you begin to discover when you see how this story ties into all of the Old Testament, you see of the baptism of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, you begin this morning to see the unbelievable depth of the love of God. In a society today, maybe even ourselves this morning, that is longing to be loved and to find meaning and acceptance, in the story of God, you begin to see how much God loves you, that he was willing to leave the throne room of heaven to take on human flesh for you and I. And not only that, he'd be willing to show you the extent of his love by going to a cross and to die for you and I. In a culture that is hungering and longing, although they don't realize it, for the Messiah, for us as the followers of Jesus this morning, be reminded that at the right time, God brought the right people together at the right time in human history to come into the world so that you and I might know that you are loved by God. When the plan comes together, there is absolute comfort for followers of Jesus when life is hard. Because Christmas expresses the unbelievable empathy of God and how God cares about your story. He cares about what you're feeling and where you are. And so the story of Christmas reminds us that God is with you, whatever you are going through this morning. And when the plan comes together, the unbelievable claims of Jesus become unbelievably believable. And so, when the plan comes together, it only makes sense that the shepherds would leave their sheep and they would come and follow Jesus. And they would come and bow down before the manger and worship. When the plan comes together, it only makes sense that the wise men would travel across the world and come bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. When the plan comes together, it only makes sense that, like this morning, thousands to millions of believers around the world are gathering to worship Jesus. And when the plan comes together, it only makes sense that we would step out in faith and allow worship to be something that happens every day of the year. It happens as we come to care for the poor and the needy and the hungry, where we begin to love the world as God loves the world, that we begin to show empathy to those who are wrestling and struggling and walk into their story. It may be for us that we move halfway across the world. It may be for us that, like many of the disciples of Jesus, that we would lose our life for the gospel. But the story of Jesus is so unbelievably life-changing. He invites you and I this morning, at this exact time, the perfect time, to allow God to continue, or maybe for the first time, to enter into our story and change so that we may discover that in Christ, all of the promises that were made in the Old Testament are fulfilled. That the hope that was talked about in the Old Testament is realized in Jesus. That the promise of the true promised land becomes real because of what Jesus did for us. And so I leave us with this. Jesus invites you and I this morning to come into worship. To come to not just worship in the last couple of minutes or so of our time of worship, but to allow worship, the declaring the worthiness of God, to saturate our comings and our goings, our social relationships, our work, the places where we volunteer, the fields that we may go to for our kids' activities, and to tell the story of the one who changes everything. Amen. Would you pray with me? How unbelievably believable it is, oh God. One doesn't need archaeology, historical writings, eyewitness testimonies to realize how true your word is. Because, Lord, we just simply need to look at the stories of not only history, but the story of our life, to realize that you change everything. And, Lord, we thank you for the hope and the peace and the assurance and the comfort that we can know that we can know that we can know that we can know that what your word says is true. Because lives continue to be changed by the good news of the gospel of grace every day. There is hope for those who feel hopeless. There is strength for those who are weak. There is comfort because you are the comforter. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning for whatever may be in our story that we need to bring to the manger this morning and to be in awe of who you are. And Lord, as we think of ourselves coming into your presence this morning, we want to pray for Carolyn, Lord, as she goes again for another eye injection this week. Lord, we just pray that these injections may be successful, Lord, that you would continue to preserve Carolyn's insight, Lord, or her eyesight, that you would give her the strength that she needs to go through it. Lord, you know how awkward it is to get those needles in your eye. But Lord, we just pray that you would just be near her as she goes through that. We pray that the medication would do what it's supposed to do. Lord, would you also be with Taya, Lord, as she anticipates surgery coming up in early September? That you would watch over her health, Lord, that as she waits for that to happen, Lord, that you would just preserve her health and that surgery would be able to happen on that day. And that, Lord, you would just strengthen her and refresh her as she, Lord, cares for Martin. We thank you for Howard and the good visit we could have. And, Lord, we just thank you for the fact that he's adjusting well, Lord, to being at the Veterans Hospital. We thank you, Lord, for his spryness. We thank you that he's moving around more and more freely. We thank you for his story, his upbeatness, of his love still for this church, Lord, and of his love for you. And Lord, we pray that you would watch over us as we seek to follow you in mission here in Richmond Hill and around the world. We pray that in this summer season that, Lord, you would replenish us, that you would restore us. And that as you do that, Lord, you would use the break from many of the ministries that are happening. Lord, that could use us more in our communities. Use us more in your workplaces. Use us more in our families to tell the story of grace. Thank you for loving us, oh God. Thank you that the plan has come together. And that, Lord, you fulfilled everything that you and your Father had promised in the Old Testament. And thank you that although we get a foretaste of heaven already now on earth, that the best is yet to come. And until that time, may we continually be coming to the manger, be coming to the cross, continue to come into worship. And so use us this week, oh God, to tell the story of Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.